Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Ze Ben Chava, Haram Nir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss this week on the program. The latest Islamic terrorist missile attacks on all of southern Israel, and Bibi Netanyahu's cowardly response, his disgraceful response, and the disgrace of all the parties and all the leaders in Israel. What a travesty. And we want to discuss the fact that, according to the polls, since his announcement, since he announced he's running for president, the anti-Semite Joe Biden is now the front runner for the Democrat presidential nomination. We're going to discuss the implications of that. If he gets the nomination, what a campaign of Donald Trump versus Joe Biden would look like, and what JTF's position is on Joe Biden. But first of all, let's discuss the situation in Israel. Because as we're doing this program, another Jew has been murdered. Hashem Yikom Damo, may God avenge his blood, a father of four children from Ashkelon. Missiles are being fired on Ashkelon, Be'er Sheva, all of southern Israel. 2 million Israeli Jews in southern Israel have their lives completely disrupted by this. And dozens of Jews have to go to the hospital or were injured. And again, one has been murdered actually by these missile attacks from the Hamas terrorists. Hundreds of missiles from Hamas have been fired on Israeli cities and towns. Hundreds of missiles. Can you imagine what would happen if on the United States border, on the northern border with Canada or on the southern border with Mexico, doesn't matter, if anywhere on the United States border suddenly missiles were being fired on United States cities and a third of the United States was paralyzed because of the missile attacks? What do you think the response of the United States government would be? To send billions of dollars to the Muslim terrorists who are firing the missiles the way Bibi Netanyahu and the so-called right-wing Likud have done? They send billions of dollars in assistance to the Muslim terrorists who are slaughtering Jews. And it is because of this policy of Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud and all the political parties in Israel. It's because of this policy that tens of thousands of Jews have been murdered, over 23,000 in fact, since the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. The vast majority of Jews have been murdered, were murdered unnecessarily. It could have been avoided if you had had really Jewish governments that had responded properly to Islamic terrorism. But we haven't had that. And once again, Bibi Netanyahu is responding now to this latest wave of Islamic terrorism by bombing empty buildings. He warns the Arab terrorists in advance so that they won't get hurt or killed. He doesn't want to hurt or kill the Arab terrorists. He doesn't want them to get a scratch. He warns them in advance, and then he bombs their empty buildings and says, "We have responded vigorously to the terrorism of Hamas." And then he sends them free electricity, free water, free food, free supplies, billions of dollars in aid. Not only that, he begs the European Union. When the Trump administration cut back on U.S. assistance to these Arab terrorists, which even that wasn't good, they should have cut it completely. The fact that even a penny in U.S. assistance is sent is crazy. But Trump cut back on the assistance. Netanyahu immediately called the Germans and the European Union to ask them to make up the difference, to make sure that the Arabs would get all of the assistance they need in order to continue to run their terror campaign. That's what he did. And Netanyahu is so afraid that there's going to be a humanitarian crisis, that the Arabs are going to be starving. He's so afraid of this. Instead of wanting that to happen, that would be great if that happened, because then you open the doors, let all the Arabs leave. They would all want to leave. They'd be starving. It would be perfect. But Netanyahu, the coward, the traitor, the self-hating Jew, together with all of his partners and all of the other political parties in Israel, continues to supply the Arab enemy with free electricity, free water, free food supplies, free medicine, free schools, free housing, all the things that they never give for free to Jews. This is the sickest government and the sickest leadership that anybody could possibly have. The worst. And it's not just the Likud, it's the Jewish Home Party of Rafi Peretz and Bezalel Smotrich, who say this is a right-wing government, we have to protect the right-wing government. This is a right-wing government? You couldn't get worse than this government. Even Gantz. Gantz is the head of the left-wing opposition party, the so-called blue and white party. Even Gantz is criticizing Netanyahu from the right and saying that he would have responded more vigorously. Now, that's a lie. Gantz is also a coward and a self-hating Jew who, when he was the Ramatkal, when he was the chief of staff for the Israeli army, he also was kissing the behinds, kissing the tuchuses of all the Arab terrorist Nazi mass murderers. But even he is saying that Bibi's response is a joke. Because the people of Israel are tired of this. And they don't know what to do because none of the leaders and none of the parties offer real solutions. And they didn't vote for Moshe Feiglin and Zehut. Moshe Feiglin and Zehut advocated getting the Arabs out. But they didn't vote for Moshe Feiglin and Zehut in the last election. And so we see the consequences. And even Moshe Feiglin and Zehut, I have to say, are not pushing the issue the way we would like to see it pushed. It's not their number one priority issue when they run. And as we've said before, we think Zehut and Moshe Feiglin should be running an appeal without also trying to appeal to left-wing voters. And they should run a straight right-wing campaign. Israel is ready for a real right-wing party. But anyway, putting that aside from now, Zehut was certainly better than the other parties, and Moshe Feiglin was certainly better than any of the others. That's for sure. But we have in Israel this endless situation. Leaders that are doing everything they can to prop up the enemies of Israel. I'm not going to get into what the motivations are, what the reasons are, whatever the reasons are. Maybe Bibi is terrified that if there's a humanitarian crisis, it's not going to look good for Israel. And therefore, he has to make sure that the Arabs have plenty of housing and plenty of food and are nice and comfortable. That could be one of the problems and one of the things that go through Bibi's sick, cowardly, ghetto-minded head when he decides to pursue these insane policies. And there are all other types of considerations that are involved here. There's also, you know, you got these billionaires that really run Israel, the billionaires that own the companies and that control most of Israel's economy. They want to make sure that they have continued business deals with the Europeans and with others who threaten Israel all the time. If you don't do this and if you don't appease the Arabs, we're not going to deal with you, and so on and so forth, which is complete nonsense. If Israel had a truly independent policy, first of all, they wouldn't need to trade with these Jew haters. And second, these Jew haters would want to trade with them even more because Israel's technological prowess and Israel's prosperous, booming economy, which would be created if Israel did the right thing. Israel would have a booming, prosperous economy, an unbelievably prosperous economy. They would be, business people and companies would be begging to deal with Israel because it would be good for their bottom line. But the cowardly, ghetto-minded, self-hating Jews that run Israel are never going to see things that way. There is no hope for solving Israel's problems. No hope for turning Israel into a truly Jewish state. No hope for having security for the Jewish people in Israel. No hope, zero hope, as long as these people remain in power. If we don't have new leadership, completely new leadership from top to bottom, in the Israeli government, the Supreme Court, the Israeli army, if we don't completely get rid of all of the self-hating Jews that are betraying the Jewish people and undermining Israel, there is no hope for change. And that's why JTF plays such a crucial role. You know, every day we reach thousands of Israeli Jews with our message, with the type of message you're hearing now, giving them the solutions that you're hearing now. No one else tells them this. No one else. And I know that people say, well, why aren't things changing then? Just reaching thousands of Jews with one message and one commercial when everything else they hear is the opposite and everyone else is giving them the opposite. And again, we're reaching thousands of Jews. There are 6 million Jews in Israel. We want to reach millions. We're reaching thousands, yes. But we're only reaching them with a one-time message against up against all the other stuff they hear day and night. So even if they agree with what they see when they see our 60-second or 90-second message, when they see our ads, and thousands of them are seeing it every single day in Israel, but even when they see that, after all the brainwashing they get for the rest of the day, it's not enough to completely change the situation. But at least we're introducing them to new ideas so that they'll be more open to change. Because eventually there will be change and eventually there will be real leaders. And we are at least preparing the people of Israel and opening them up to this and making them aware of new ideas. Because without us, they would never even know that there are other solutions. They would never even know that anybody stands for anything different than the insanity that goes on in Israel. Because even leaders like Otzma praise Netanyahu and say it's a right-wing government. Itamar Ben-Gvir and Baruch Marzel from Otzma, who claim to be Kahanis. They're not Kahanis, but they claim to be Kahanis. Even they said, in the last election, we saved the right-wing government. This is a right-wing government? A government that allows Jews to be murdered and millions of Jews in southern Israel to be terrorized? Hundreds of missiles, just the past 24 hours, hundreds of missiles fired on Israeli cities? And this government allows this terror, this mass terror to take place? And supports and gives assistance and aid and comfort to those who are carrying out this murder campaign against the Jews? That's a right-wing government? And even so-called Kahanis praise the government? JTF is the only one telling the truth in this situation. The only one telling the whole truth. Moshe Feiglin and Zehut tell some of the truth, part of the truth, but even they don't tell the whole truth. JTF tells the whole truth. And that's essential. I can't tell you how important it is that at least someone speak out. And the vast majority of Israelis in polls don't like Netanyahu's policy toward Gaza and don't like the fact that he's appeasing. They want a tough policy. Yet they still vote for Netanyahu because they think that if they don't vote for the Likud, they're going to get someone even more left-wing. This is the catch-22 situation that Israeli Jews put themselves in by allowing themselves to be brainwashed by this Likud propaganda. You don't vote for us, you're going to get a left-wing government, as if the Likud is not a left-wing government. What is the other... Well, if they got a left-wing government, what are they going to do that's worse? And so that's the tragic situation we have until there's change. And again, the only bright spot on the horizon, the only bright spot, is JTF at least reaching an audience of thousands of Jews every day. We've been averaging about 7,000 or 8,000, between 6,000 to 8,000, I would say, between 6,000 to 8,000 views on our videos every day with our advertising campaign, which never ended, even after the campaign, even after the political campaign ended, the Knesset elections, we never stopped the advertising campaign. We're reaching these Jews with this message. And the majority of our viewers are young Jews, so that's the future of Israel. And it's important. It's important that we reach them. I don't know how much it's going to actually influence them or change them. I don't know. But I know that it's the only thing we got going now. It's the only hope we have going now. To wake the people of Israel up. Because waking the Jews of Israel up is the only hope we have. So the only thing we got going in order to wake them up with some truth is JTF. If JTF weren't there, no one would be telling them the truth or even bringing them this message. No one. Everybody would be saying, well, we've got to continue to support Netanyahu, and or saying Netanyahu should be tougher on them, but we still support him as prime minister. You know, this ridiculous, insane, twisted, tortured message that they get from everybody else. The only time they get a true, uncompromising Torah Jewish response is when JTF reaches them. That is important. And someday, I don't know when, but someday it's going to have an effect. And it's going to achieve what we want to achieve someday. I don't know when. It could be into the future. But reaching Jews with the truth at a time of crisis like this, constantly reaching them with the truth and telling them a truth that they won't hear anywhere else, that is essential. That is essential. And I hope that at least our fellow JTFers understand that. I think you do. I think you do understand that. And so we need all the help we can get to continue, of course, to continue our campaign, because we want to continue to reach people with the truth now more than ever. The second subject that we want to bring up, oh, and by the way, before we go into the second subject, of course, the solution is to get the Arabs out of Israel. Offer them compensation, the Arab population, offer them compensation. The vast majority want to leave. Offer them compensation to get out and get them out. Get them out. The vast majority want to leave. And as far as the Arab enemy that wants to stay and that doesn't want to leave and doesn't want to accept compensation, if they have a history or record of animosity toward the Jewish people, they've got to be thrown out. If they're working to destroy Israel, they've got to be thrown out. Those who support destroying Israel should be thrown out. And the terrorists, the tens of thousands of Arab terrorists that are allowed to openly operate in the land of Israel, they should be killed. Arab terrorists should be killed. Terrorists that want to murder Jewish men, women, and children, want to destroy the Jewish people, should be killed. That's what the United States does with Al-Qaeda or with the Islamic State, ISIS. That's what Israel should do as well. Israel should adopt the same policy that any sane country would use in a situation like this. And again, if you want someday for this to happen, if you want Israel someday to have sane leaders that are going to do the right thing so that we can have the final redemption, because this is what decides the events of the world. This is more important than Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin or the Mueller report or all the other things that are happening in other countries that are much larger than Israel. What happens in Israel is the most important thing in world history and world events. Read your Bible. It's what happens with Israel and the Jews that decides for God what he's going to do next. All right. So what we're doing is essential. We're bringing truth to people. And the only hope we have of ever changing this is to wake the Jews of Israel up. And it's part of a process. And we're doing everything we can to move that process forward at a time like this. And many Jews in Israel, when they hear our message, agree with what we're saying. The only problem is it gets watered down because after they hear our 60-second message, then they hear from everybody else all the other stuff, day and night. That's the problem. But many Jews, if you show them our message and then ask them, do you agree with what you just saw, what you just saw on this commercial, many Jews in Israel will agree with us. And the situation is not hopeless. Because God promises that someday the Jews are going to wake up, and someday the Jews are going to do what's right, and someday the Jews are going to return to the Torah true way. God promises us this. The prophets in the Bible promise us this. So someday we know that's going to happen. But will it happen after a lot of unnecessary bloodshed? Chas v'chalila, God forbid. Wars, bloodshed, terrorism, other horrible tragedies and catastrophes. Will it take that to make the Jews wake up? That's the question. We want to avoid the tragedies and the horrors and save our people from this catastrophe. That's the whole purpose of what JTF is trying to do. But to prepare the ground for the eventual change, the eventual waking up of the Jewish people that someday will take place. It could be a year from now, it could be 5 years from now, it could be 10 years from now, it could be 50 years from now, but someday that will happen. To prepare the groundwork for that, there has to be someone who tells the truth, who brings the truth to the Jewish people. There has to be. In every generation, there has to be. And right now, JTF is that group. I don't know anybody else who is. If somebody knows somebody else who is, please tell me about it. The second subject that we want to discuss this week is the presidential election next year. After Joe Biden announced his candidacy for president, the polls showed that he developed a huge lead in some polls. For instance, there's a Harris poll out that shows him with a 30 percentage point lead now over the rest of the field, over his next closest competitor. His next closest competitor is the self-hating Jewish anti-Semite Bernie Sanders, the Jewish communist. And but according to the latest Harris poll, the latest Harvard-Harris poll, Biden has 44% and Sanders has only 14%. So he has a 30-point lead, and then all the other candidates are in the single digits and much less. So that's pretty incredible. Now, a lot of that can be a reflection of name recognition and some of the positive publicity that Biden has gotten since he announced his candidacy. And he's going to get criticism, and there are going to be rough spots for him, rough patches. We'll see how well he survives those rough patches. I think it's far from certain that he'll be the Democrat nominee. Anything can happen. And there are 23 candidates running for the Democrat nomination. Anything can happen. But it is quite possible. It's possible he will be the nominee. I mean, according to all the polls now, show him in the lead. And not just in the lead nationally among Democrats. They show him in the lead in all the early primary and caucus states, which is what is really important in Iowa, New Hampshire, and all these primary and caucus states. Joe Biden is leading in every single poll. So that's significant. That's significant. And he raised more money when he announced his candidacy than any of the other contenders. So he's going to have a lot of money. He's universally known. He's starting out with a big lead in the polls, a big advantage. So he's got a lot of endorsements coming up. So he's got a lot going for him. He could be the nominee. He could be the Democrat nominee, despite the fact that he is a joke of a candidate. I mean, when he was running for vice president with Barack Hussein Obama, we did videos on him. And we're, of course, if he becomes the nominee against Donald Trump in 2016, our plan right now will be to do videos exposing just how crazy he is and some of the crazy things he's said and done in the past. Just unbelievable. When you see them, you won't believe some of the stuff that has come out of his mouth and some of the crazy things he's proposed. I mean, just this week, for instance, he said China poses no threat to the United States. China is not a threat. China is not a problem for the United States. China is not a threat to the United States, is not a problem. China, whose economy, according to most economic analysts, is going to overtake the economy of the United States eventually and is moving quickly in that direction. China's not a threat to the United States. They're hacking every single site they can get their hands on. They're stealing all of the military information, all the technology, both in the private sector and in the U.S. military. They're stealing everything. They have spies all over the place. They're influencing all the politicians and bribing everybody. They have huge influence in American corporations, including American technology corporations. They bought up huge amounts of it. They control a huge proportion of America's debt because they've bought up bonds and treasury bonds and other bonds, and they control a huge part of America's debt. China's not a threat to the United States. They have 1.5 billion people in that country. They're not a threat. So Joe Biden, he says things that are so nonsensical, and he prides himself as being a foreign policy expert. And we saw his expertise when he was vice president under the Muslim Jew hater Barack Hussein Obama, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. We saw Joe Biden's expertise when he pushed the Iran nuclear deal, where he said that we should have a deal which allows Iran to build nuclear bombs and not only that, rewards them and gives them hundreds of billions of dollars in aid and trade while they're building nuclear bombs, promising to use them against the United States, the Great Satan, whom they refer to, the Iranians call the United States the Great Satan and chant death to America. And they refer to Israel, of course, as the little Satan and chant death to Israel. And Biden felt that it's a good deal that Obama made, giving them hundreds of billions of dollars in aid. So this is the type of lunacy we have going on right now. And you know that we don't like Donald Trump either. His policies are terrible. I mean, look at him with begging this North Korean animal Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, begging him to come back to the negotiating table. This monster who murdered 2 million of his own people, who starves his own children to death. His children, the children in North Korea, who racially are the same, basically, as the children in South Korea, yet the children in North Korea are a head shorter, a whole foot shorter than of children of the same age in South Korea, because they're starved. They're being starved. Their growth has been stunted by this massive starvation. While Kim and the other Nazis that run North Korea, the other red Nazis that run North Korea, they're living like billionaires. They live lives of luxury. And their people are starving to death. 2 million people died, most of them through starvation. And this monster, Trump says, I like him. He's very similar to me. We get along very well. I really like him. And continues to kiss his behind. So Trump is very, very problematic as well. But on Iran also, by the way, Trump should send in the U.S. Air Force. That would be the end of this problem. In 2 or 3 days, the United States Air Force could destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. And Iran, it would take Iran 10 years to rebuild the program. And Iran doesn't have the money or the resources. It would be in an impossible situation for the Iranians if the U.S. Air Force went in and really destroyed that program. And it could be done easily. But Trump doesn't do that. That's what Ted Cruz would have done. Trump doesn't do that. And so he continues to run an Iran policy that's bad. He continues to run a policy where he wants to help Saudi Arabia build nuclear bombs. He wants to help them get nuclear reactors. So his policies are also bad. So we're stuck with Trump, whose policies are crazy and terrible. And then we got Joe Biden and the Democrats, whose policies are even worse, because Joe Biden, at least Trump pulled out of the Biden, out of the Obama-Biden nuclear agreement. He pulled out of that. And pulled out of it 18 months too late, but pulled out of it. And he is imposing a certain amount of sanctions on Iran, not enough, but he's imposing certain amount of sanctions on Iran that are damaging the Iranian economy. Biden wants to change all of that. He wants to eliminate all the sanctions and prop up Iran and give them a booming economy while they're building nuclear bombs. That's Biden's solution and the solution of the Democrats. So they are actually quite a bit worse. As bad as Trump is, and Trump is bad. He's a terrible president. He's a complete jerk. But as bad as he is, the Democrats are worse. That's the situation we have right now. And again, I don't know what Trump is going to propose next month, if the so-called Middle East, so-called peace plan that he and Jared Kushner and all the other Captain Zeros that are, you know, Captain Zeros that are working in his administration, when they come out with the so-called plan, they said they're going to come out with it after the Muslim month of Ramadan, where for a whole month Muslims starve all day and only eat when it's dark outside for a whole month. After the Muslim month of Ramadan, he said he's going to come out with the plan, Kushner and Trump. Kushner is Trump's son-in-law. And I don't know what it's going to look like, and that will play a big role in deciding what JTF is going to do next year in the presidential election. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, and we'll make our decisions based on how it affects Israel. That's our number one decision. Those of you, especially our non-Jewish, those of you who are Jewish and were more concerned about America than Israel, you're traitors if you are. You should be more concerned about Israel. And those of you who are not Jewish, you should also be more concerned about Israel, because that's what God says in the Bible. That's the most important issue that decides the future of all countries. But those of you who are more concerned about American issues, on American issues, Trump is not doing a good job. Yes, the economy has a low unemployment rate. And yes, the stock market has reached record highs because they're artificially pumping up the money supply. But the massive debt that Trump is creating with his policies, this massive debt where he's outspending Obama, and where the budget deficits are growing much faster than they were under Obama, and the national debt is growing much faster than it was under Obama, this massive debt is something that eventually is going to explode. Trump himself always said that Obama's debt was going to bankrupt America. He's now building up debt faster than Obama. So if Obama's debt was going to bankrupt America, what's going to happen with Trump's debt? I'm asking all of you that say Trump is making America great again. And what happens at the southern border? And what happens, you know, the number of illegals coming into the United States, once again, is higher under Trump than it was under Obama. I thought he was supposed to solve that problem. I thought we were supposed to have a wall. What happened to the wall? And if you say, well, Trump wanted the wall, but the Congress didn't give him the wall, or whatever other excuses you have, or the same excuses always, the same excuses you made for Bush and the same excuse you made for all Republican presidents. It's the Congress's fault. It's the fault of the courts. It's the fault of this one or that one. It's everybody's fault except for Donald Trump. It's the deep state. Everybody except Donald Trump. It's not his fault. He said that he could get deals and he could get it through the Congress because he's such a great deal maker. Oh, really? He hasn't gotten his wool money from the Congress. He hasn't gotten anything. So he's not been a good president. But yes, the Democrats right now are worse. We'll see what happens next month with the release of his Middle East crazy plan for the Middle East. And we'll see how that works out. And then we'll make our decision exactly where we're going to go. And you'll know because we're going to make a big deal about it. You know, once we start a campaign, we make a big deal. We turn it into a big deal. And you know, the campaign we ran against Obama in 2012, for instance, had millions of views. I just want to say, by the way, interestingly, we were able to get millions of views because for some reason, when we did videos, political videos in English, YouTube and Google did not block people from seeing our videos. They enabled our videos to grow, and so we got millions of views. For some reason, when we do the same thing in Hebrew, if we don't advertise the videos, we can't get millions in Hebrew, because if we don't advertise, first of all, there are only 6 million Jews in Israel. But if we don't advertise the videos in Hebrew, the Hebrew speaking people that work, self-hating Jews in Hebrew that work for Google and for YouTube. YouTube is owned by Google. They have created a situation where the algorithms are what you use in the search engines to promote your videos. They are rigged against us, and so we're limited. The free videos we put up in Hebrew only get hundreds of views, in some cases thousands of views, but in most cases just hundreds of views, unless we advertise. When we advertise, we've been advertising since the summer, and we got over 1 million views because of that. But we have to, in Hebrew, we got to pay for it. Otherwise, our videos don't succeed. Now, in 2012, in English, in the political campaign, we did not have to. We were able to put the videos up for free, and it worked. And we got massive numbers of views, which, again, in Hebrew and Israel, we've never been able to do. We've never been able to do that in Hebrew and Israel. They don't allow it. They will not allow us. The self-hating Jews that Google hires in Israel to monitor their Hebrew videos, they don't allow it. They do not allow us to reach the people in the search engines that you need to reach if you want to have mass viewing. So we've got to, the only way we could do it is with advertising. When we advertise, we do have a mass audience. But in English, I hope this isn't too complicated, but in English, for some reason, we were able to reach a mass audience when we did our campaign against Obama in 2012. I hope we'll be able to do it again next year. If we are able to, if we get millions of views, then we can have an impact on the presidential election. We very much can have an impact, especially JTF. JTF especially can be influential in next year's election because we are never Trumpers. And if we as never Trumpers say that you have to support Trump as a lesser of the evils, if we say that, it will influence the election. That will influence millions of never Trumpers on the right who refuse to vote for him. We're the only ones that can speak to those people because we are also never Trumpers on the right. So the decision we make can be important in the presidential election next year. It can be. We're continuing to do our campaign to make this a better world, to wake people up, to fight in Israel for an Israeli Jewish public that will understand what the real solutions are and what type of leadership we should be yearning for in Israel. And in the United States, to fight against the anti-Semitic Democrats and fight against those that want to pressure Israel to commit suicide. Those are our battles. Those are the battles we're fighting. Our advertising campaign is only for Israel. The money, anybody who sends us money, your money will go to what we're doing in Israel, for the advertising campaign in Israel. We will not spend money, even if we launch a big campaign in the presidential election next year. That will only be free videos that we put up. We will not advertise those videos. All of our advertising money will go 100% only to what we're doing in Israel, because that's our number one priority. But again, even with our free campaign in the presidential election, we could have an impact. So this is where we stand. We're fighting to make a difference. And one thing we should always remember, because we tell you how terrible the politicians are and the leaders are, Trump, Netanyahu, the Democrats, the left, they are terrible. And the situation seems grim when you look at it that way, unless you understand the long-range picture. If you understand the long-range view, you know from the Nevi'im and the Tanakh, from the prophets in the Bible, you know that eventually the good guys are going to win. You know that Hashem, God, has promised us that. And not only that, what we see going on now, the darkness, the immorality, the insanity, all of this was predicted. All of this was foretold that this was going to happen in the end generations, just like the return of the Jews to the land of Israel after 2,000 years. All of these miracles that happened, they were foretold. And the fact that we would have a blind generation that would be doing crazy things, all of that was foretold. So all of it is playing, it's going according to the playbook. It's going right according to what the prophets told us would happen thousands of years ago. They told us this was going to happen. It's happening exactly as they told us. But just remember, in the end, good things are coming. And people should want to be righteous. You want to be righteous and you want to be part of the good things. You want to be part of that. Because those who are part of the next world, when Mashiach, when the Messiah comes, and when there's Geulah Shlema, when there's a final redemption, and Ha'olam Haba, the world to come, that's a world of Chayei Netzach. That's a world of eternity, where people live forever. And it'll be a world, a completely different world, so much better and so much superior to what we have now. Just imagine a world where everybody is idealistic and everybody wants to help their fellow human beings. In other words, the only people left after the judgment will be those who are good people filled with love and who want to help their fellow human beings and who are righteous and just and truthful. Those are the only people that will be left after the judgment. The people who behave that way in this world are the ones that will make it. That's your ticket to the next world. And for the Jews, it's also the mitzvot of the Torah. It's following the commandments in the Torah as well. But imagine a world where when you walk out of the house, everywhere you go, people want to give you things. People want to help you. Everybody's filled with love. And everybody cares about everyone else and just wants to give and help. And that's what you want to do, and that's what everybody wants to do. Imagine a world like that. And imagine not having death or illness and living in a world like that forever. That would truly be paradise. And that world will come someday. In the meantime, we're going to continue our fight. We continue our fight for truth and righteousness and justice. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.